Ephesians chapter 4. In the last, I don't know, maybe a couple months or more, I've been preaching on hindrances in our Christian life. You could have hindrances in your prayer life. Bitterness could be a hindrance to you. Worldliness, losing your love for the Lord, compromising. You could see that as sin, and also compromising as in false doctrine. Doubts, lack of faith. And we've been now in lack of spiritual growth. A lack of spiritual growth. If you're not growing spiritually, it's going to be a hindrance to you in your Christian life. You're going to fall. You're going to get out of the way. Some of these other things are going to pop up in your life because you're not growing spiritually. Now, we know when you're trying to grow spiritually, you know what happens? The devil doesn't like it. And the devil's going to try his best to prevent you from growing spiritually. He'll bring people in your life that will try to draw you away. He'll bring things into your life to try to get you away from God, because he doesn't want that, right? And you have to realize that. So as you grow spiritually, you'll get grounded, and it'll be easier to discern that, pick things up and be like, oh, no, right? And I want you to see what the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 4. So talking about the lack of spiritual growth is a hindrance to you spiritually, or hindrance to you in your life. Look what the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Well, actually, let me go back to verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. This is what God gave to us as a local church, right? So we know the church, yes, us as individuals, right? But most references that you find in the Bible that talks about church is referring to an actual assembly, a local assembly, right? An actual building, right? Not like a building per se, but people meeting together. They met in houses, they may have met in fields and other places. So you think about when it talks about a church, it's talking about like us, right? We're here, a local assembly that's here. And what we see is God gave to the church, right, to these local assemblies, to us as believers, apostles and prophets. We know there's none today, right? The apostles, there were 12 apostles. They're done. The prophets, there's no prophets per se of foretelling, right? What I could tell you is the future is what's in the Bible, right? There are still evangelists and pastors and teachers, right, to help. And one of the characteristics or one of the qualifications of the pastor is be able to teach. So here it is. He's telling us as a church what we need. And the first thing he tells us here in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting of the saints. Now, the world will tell you the saints, or whoever the Catholic Church defines as saints. The Bible says that's not true. The Bible says if you are born again, you are a saint. So when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a saint. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, bad grammar, you ain't, right? You're either a saint or you ain't. Amen. So anyway, he tells us this. That word perfecting means completely furnishing. Completely furnishing, right? So let's say that you just bought a house, right? Let's say that you bought a house, and let's say it was like this church building, right? This was here. And you think about when you get this house, right? This building that's here, there would be nothing in it. God bless, we had things in it, amen? But let's say you had nothing in it. So you're going to go out to do what? You're going to go out and probably get a bed, right? Get a couch or get a recliner, right? And you're going to get some other stuff to put into your house so that way you can live in it, right? You're going to need things for taking a shower, right? The tiles. You're going to need things for the restroom. You're going to need things for the kitchen, right? You're going to need a stove. So furnishing, right? Here, what he's talking about is completely furnishing. He's telling us about the things we need in our spiritual life. Do you imagine you have a refrigerator with food in? but you don't have a stove to cook it, and you don't have a microwave. You have no fire, you know? So you can have food that needs cooked, and if you don't have the appliance to cook it, what's that going to help you, right? It's not, right? Unless you go to your neighbor's house. Here it is for the church. You think about what God has given you when you got saved. God has given us His Word, right? Since we have the very words of God, that's a blessing, amen? We have the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. So we have things, and now He's telling us, the church, a pastor will help you to grow, right? Help you to, you know, as you're going through scriptures, to learn things. That's not saying you can't learn on your own. You can, right? But you could see here, a pastor and a teacher and evangelist will help you perfecting of the saints, to thoroughly furnished, right? To help you to put things together, help you to get things settled into your heart, doctrine, to expound the scriptures, to explain it, right? He goes on and says, for the work of the ministry, right? You think about as a pastor, I oversee, right? He is the great shepherd, right? I just oversee what's here, and I preach, and I try to lead the church. But the reality is, you think about, we're gathered here together for the work of the ministry. Our goal is to try to reach people for Jesus Christ, help people get saved, baptized, then be discipled. Train them that way they can go out and reach people for the Lord. But it's for the work of the ministry. And he says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That word edifying means like a building. It actually talks about like a structure, right? A structure, a building. So if you think about it, you come to church, and when you come to church, it will help you to grow spiritually. Failure to come to church, you know what's going to happen? It's going to hurt you. You won't be able to do the work that God wants you to do. Now, there's people out there say, I can do things for God outside of local church and never go to church. Well, that's not God's way. God wants you in church. The reality is, if you think about, if you're saved here tonight, you're saved here, if you go back and look, it was because of the work of the local church. Someone in the local church may have met you outside, right? Shared the gospel to you, but it was someone that was in that local church. I probably would say, you know, if you raised your hand, every single person that's saved would say, yeah, right? For me, I heard the messages that was in a local church. I went home, and as I was then listening to a tape of someone who recorded it, that was in a local church, recorded it, right? And I heard that. What I'm saying, it's the work, right? So if you think about it, here it is. He's talking about the importance of church. He says this. You may ask, how long should I go to church to or for, right? Till we all come to the unity of the faith. Unity is, you know, you talk about doctrinally sound. Well, what was he saying? Well, when we get to the place where we're perfect, you know what that means? You're never going to get there. Amen. So you always need church. Amen. We always need church. He goes on and says, and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That word stature is maturity. You think about when you come to church and you're faithful to come into church and listening to the messages and applying it to your heart, it will help you to mature or to grow like you should. Look what he says here, verse 14. So you may say, well, preacher, what are you talking about? Hindrances. Well, look what he says here, verse 14. Now he's going to talk about what happens when someone does not see the importance of church. Someone's not faithful to church. He says that we, henceforth, when he says we, who do you think he's referring to? Christians, right? He's referring to himself, and he's referring to the church that he's writing to. So he's referring to us. He says that we, henceforth, so he's talking about us as believers, be no more children. Do you see that? When you think about a child is what? Immature, right? Some of those adults act immature too, but when you think about a child is immature, right? They don't get their way at Walmart, and what is it? They get down on all fours and they get on their back, or whatever, you know. Immature. Yeah, you're right. Don't allow that. Amen. If your child does that, don't ever give in to them. Correct them. Discipline, right? But anything, you think about it, a child is immature, right? They'll do dumb things, right? When you first get saved, you are a child or a babe in Christ. So think this through, what he's saying. That we henceforth be no more children. If you don't see the importance of a local church to come to church and be faithful, you're never going to grow spiritually like you should. That's what he's saying. Do you know why there's people that are saved and they haven't grown spiritually? They're carnal. They're more fleshly. They cause problems because they don't see the importance of a local church. That is what he says, that we henceforth be no more children. So if you don't see the importance of church, you're never going to grow spiritually. Someone that got saved and whatever reason, they're backslidden, they're out of church. I don't need to go to church. You are a babe in Christ and you're not going to grow. The reality is you're backslidden. Until you need to realize what you're doing is wrong. But you think about the importance. People don't see the importance of church anymore. It baffles me. It just baffles me. When I got saved, yes, I was coming to church. I was faithful. But when I got saved, I want to be in church. I wanted to be around other brothers and sisters to be encouraged. I wanted to hear what God was doing in people's lives. I want to be involved. I want to tell boys and girls about Jesus. I got a little excited today, even though I'm sick. I got a little excited. My nephew, Caleb. You know how old is Caleb? 15? 15, he's down. He lives at 16? Well, he's still 15. That means that was right. Yeah. 15 years old, and God, I called him to preach. So he surrendered. And as he's going to a Christian school, and the church that's there is trying to help him and train him a little bit, you know, because then he'll end up going to Bible college. But he's 15 years old, so he'd be, what, 10th grade? 10th, 11th grade, something like that? 11th grade. So they're trying to help him and work him a little bit. So anyway, they asked him to preach in their, like, chapel for, like, the kids. To give like a preaching message just for salvation message. And I'm telling you, what a blessing that was. Amen. You see this young man, 15 years old, and he's just like his dad. His dad, when he preaches, he's like this, walking and stuff like that. And that was little Caleb. Amen. But anyway, it was encouragement. Why? Because he wants to tell people about Jesus. Amen. But you think about it, he's growing. Amen. It's a wonderful blessing. They're trying to work. But anyway, what we can see here, it says, if you think about it, if you don't go to church, you're still going to be a child. Amen. He goes on and says, tossed to and fro. Do you know why some people that don't go to church, that don't see the importance of church, sometimes they follow some weird stuff or they get easily misled? Here it is. He's telling us. If you're not in a good, sound, Bible-believing, preaching church that's preaching the Word of God, you're not going to grow spiritually. And don't be surprised, you're tossed to and fro that you're unsettled, right? You're unstable, right? That's what he's telling. And he goes, look, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, let's go back. Who was he referring to at the beginning of this verse? Christians, right? Christians can what? Stay as a babe. Christians can be unstable. Christians can believe things carried about with every wind of doctrine, right? Can be misled, start believing a false doctrine, right? That doesn't mean that they're going to change their belief in who Jesus Christ is, but they can be led astray. Why? Because they don't see the importance of church. They're not going to church. They're not faithful to church. They're not hearing. And here it is, he's saying what? It's going to hurt them. So go back to what I was talking to at the beginning, hindrances. Don't you see the importance of church? You know, that's why the devil tries to get people out of church. Because he doesn't want you to grow. And he knows if he gets you out of church, what happens? Then he can get you backslidden. He can get you unstable in your life. Start believing things that aren't true. And look, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I am so sometimes like dumbfounded where Christians, or I claim to be Christian, but I believe Christians, will get onto YouTube and start listening to things about some things that are just crazy, and they start believing it.
You believe that stuff on YouTube?
Yeah, and it's baffling. But it shouldn't baffle me. You know why? Because the Bible says the chances are, you look at, they are not in a good, sound church, and they're not faithful to the services, and they're not taking it in. Because if you're in a good, sound church, and your heart's taking, there's, the reality is this, you're going to hear preaching, and you're going to hear something and be like, nope, that ain't right. May not agree with it, but you're going to say, that doesn't sound right. So here it is, he's given a warning. So the importance of being in church and being faithful to the church. He goes on and says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compassed by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What's he saying? You need church. Excuse me a second. And if you don't see the importance of church, then the reality is you're not going to grow like you should. Your life will be unstable, right? Think about it. Us that are Christians and maybe a bit saved, that are mature, or, you know, I mean, we're growing. Think about the trials that you're having in your life. Do you imagine if you weren't faithful to church, what it would have done to you? Could have wrecked you. Could have caused you to be bitterness. Could have caused you to believe things that you shouldn't. But you're still faithful. Why is it that you're faithful? I mean, think about it. Some of you are going through trials right now and you're still faithful coming to the church because you have grown and you know the importance of it. You're a walking testimony. When people see your life, you're a walking testimony, right? Here it is. He's telling us, hey, you're not going to be a child if you keep on coming to church, keep on being faithful, keep on listening and taking in God's word. Here it is. But if not, it'll be a hindrance. It'll be a hindrance. Can I tell you one of the best things you can do is when you know someone that's a Christian that's not going to church, you should show them these verses and say, hey, look, you're not going to grow like you should. I mean, I love to eat. I have never tried that place called Cook's. I think you told me about it, right? Never tried it. I'm looking forward to it. Amen. I like eating food. Amen. But you imagine if I only ate once a week? That wouldn't be good for me, health-wise, right? The reality is if I ate once a week, I'd probably eat so much in that one day because I'd be like, oh, the next 6 days I'm not going to eat. But it wouldn't be good for me health-wise. Why does people think it's good for them spiritually just to come to church once in a while? It's not, you know. The reality is, you know, you not only need preaching, but you need fellowship. You need fellowship, right? I'm at home all day, nothing against the ladies, with ladies, right? I love my mother-in-law, my wife, my daughter, my dog. I'm debating it, right? Just shed me up some nights. Ugh, I'm debating it, right? It is a blessing to come to church to have some men to talk to, right? Don't misunderstand. I love ladies, amen? But it's nice, right? And ladies, it may be the same, right? You talk about you get together as ladies and you talk and whatever you do. I'm assuming whenever you have your ladies thing, you have, my assumption is you have your little teaching time, and then after that you all gather together and go to the bathroom at the same time or something. It always seems like ladies go in there.
Yeah.
So anyway. Boy, you just went from godly to wicked, you know? I'm telling you. Boy, you keep on coming to church, you'll grow, amen? You'll get that, amen? So, but anyway, what I'm saying is it's important, right? To have that fellowship, be able to talk. Some, you know, you think about it, you come before church, may stay after church, and you talk, right? You're talking about different things, and you're maybe bouncing things off. But you're talking to someone, and it's helping you, right? Someone else is going through something, and you're able to talk. You want to know how they're doing. You need church. You need that good Christian fellowship. And without coming to church and being faithful, the reality is you're not going to grow in the Lord. It's going to be a hindrance in your life. And don't be surprised, your life ends up being unstable. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1. Now you have to remember, this message is a series that I started months and months ago, right? So when I'm preaching today, you think about it months ago, right? It just works things out. 2 Peter chapter 1. Look here in 2 Peter chapter 1. So again, we're talking about spiritual growth, the importance of spiritual growth. Why? Without spiritual growth, you'll be hindered. And I don't want your life to be a hindrance, right? I don't want you to be hindered. I don't want you to hinder other people. Look what he says here in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start reading. I'll just read it, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to them who have attained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we could see this written for believers, right? Very clear. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How can you gain knowledge of God? Well, get in the book. Amen. Read the Bible. He goes on and says, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. You see that? Given us all things that pertain unto life. Everything that you need, God has given us. God has given you everything that you need to live a successful Christian life, right? That's a wonderful thought, right? He has given you church to help you to grow, to be encouraged, to be comforted. He has given you the Holy Spirit to guide us, right? To help us, chasten us, right? To get us back. He has given us his word that we can know what he wants. He has given us these precious promises that we can hold on to when we have times down in the valley. We can look and say, praise God, I know there is a day coming, amen, where God will take me home and I'll be delivered out of whatever it would be. Think about it. God has given you everything that you need. You know what happens a lot of times? We're not content. You know, we want more. Just be satisfied, amen. Be thankful for what God has given you. Amen? Stop saying, I got to have this, I got to do this, right? Keep up with whatever. Amen? Anyway, God has given us everything that we need. Remember that. But then he says, whereby are given to us, how about this? I'll come back to verse 4, because I want you to see the importance of this. Look what he says down here, verse 8. So again, we're talking about hindrances, right? Hindrances in our Christian life. Look what he says here in verse 8. If these things be in you and abound, I'll come back to those things, right? And what he's talking about in verse 4 down to verse 7 is to help you to grow spiritually, having these things in your life, right? Faith, virtue, he's telling those things. I'll come back to those, but I want you to see the importance of what God's saying of these things that we'll come back to in verse 4 through 7. He says, if these things be in you and abound, that they make you that ye never be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that for a moment. You want to make sure that you don't have hindrances in your Christian life? Here it is. He's telling you, should never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have these things, and he's talking about spiritual growth, adding them to your life, look at that promise. But then he says, look here, but he that lacketh these things, that's not growing spiritually. What did he say? Is blind. He's not talking about those that are lost. Again, verse 1, he's talking about believers. What is he saying? If you're not growing spiritually, you're not putting those things in verse 4 down to verse 7 in your life, and trying to apply them to your life and trying to grow, he says, you lack these things, you're blind. You don't understand. You know what will happen? You'll get your focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ, off of eternity, onto the things of these on this world. The things that are here and gone, right? And then look what he says. And cannot see afar off. My end is gone this way. Or you're losing sight, right? My life, think about this. My life is a vapor. A vapor. It's hard to, you know. Olivia, how old are you, if I'm asked? 12 years old. 12 years old, I was in sixth grade. I remember in sixth grade, I was in, I think, Mr. Kaiser's class in Summit View. I remember that in sixth grade. You know, I was as clumsy could be, right? I remember that. The next thing you know, it's almost 40 years later. You know, time has just flown by, right? I mean, I can remember going back to elementary school. It doesn't seem like it's too long ago, but just flew by, right? Life flies. Folks, can I tell you, it's important to live for Jesus, important to grow spiritually. Why? Because your life will pass by you. And it's going to go fast. It may not seem like it because you're 12 years old, and it's like, she's probably thinking, no. It's going slow, but trust me, it seems like it speeds up, amen? And then it's like, whoa, slow down, you know? But what I'm saying is this, if you're not growing spiritually, you'll find yourself 40 years down the road, you'll be 50-some years old, and you'll look back at your life, and your life will be a wreck, and you'll be thinking, what happened? I accepted the Lord as my Savior, I look back, and what happened to me? Because you haven't grown spiritually. That's what he's saying here, right? He goes on, and look what he says here. If you're not growing spiritually, this is hard, but look. And has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Mark, a person that's not grown spiritually can doubt their salvation. It's not saying others, doesn't say that there's been times in my life I have doubt, right? But what is he saying here? Someone that's not growing spiritually can get to the place where they think, am I saved? Why? Because they haven't grown spiritually. So you understand how that's a hindrance? Because you think about it, if you are starting to doubt your salvation, now your focus is going to be, oh no, what's wrong? You know, am I not saved? You're not going to be thinking about the things of God. Do you know what doubt is? Sin. And you know what happens when you have sin? It's a hindrance. It hinders your prayer life. It hinders your walk. Doubt, you know what doubt does? You're going back and forth. You're unstable. So the reality is God wants you to get it settled. Look what else he says here. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence, make an effort, to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. See that? A spiritual growth will get you grounded, settled, where you could be, you're going to go through trials in life, but you say, you know what? I know God has given me everything I need. I know I have the Holy Spirit. I know I have His Word. I know I have a place I can come as a place to worship and church, right? But someone that doesn't see the importance of this will have these problems. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that when you grow spiritually and you become a mature Christian, you don't have problems. You do have problems, right? But the reality is now when you have problems, and you're going to have them, you're grounded to realize, you know what? I know God will help me through these trials. I know that, yes, you know, I don't like this trial that I'm going through, but I know God will help me. God's always faithful, right? God will pull me through. I don't know how He's going to do it, but God will. But someone that's not grounded or grown, a trial can come in their life and can shipwreck them. There's Christians, I'm sure that you know, that a trial has come in their life and shipwrecked them because they haven't grown. So remember these things that he says in verse 8 through 10. He's talking about people who haven't grown. What could happen? So go back to verse 4 because he's saying, if these things, what are these things? Well, look back at verse 4. Whereby are given us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, right? He's talking about us as believers. And look what he says. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, right? You see, he's talking about spiritual growth. Failure to have spiritual growth will result in verse 8 and 9 in your Christian life. Add to your faith. Well, why does he start with faith? Well, because if you're not saved, you can't grow spiritually. Right? You have to be saved before you can grow spiritually. There's some people that are trying to learn all these things about God, and they're not saved. And the reality is, they're just spinning around in circles. You need to be saved. And then what he says, virtue. I wrote some of these things down because my memory is not as good as yours. Where is it? I thought I wrote down virtue. Yeah, I did. Virtue. Virtue is defined as excellent, praise, godliness, moral goodness, good character. When you get saved, the reality is God is saying, add to your faith virtue, right? Doing what's right. You want to find out what kind of person you are? When no one is around, what do you do? Do you do what's right? You're at church tonight, and the chances are, if you had something on your phone that you shouldn't look at that was bad, the chances are you would not look on it because you'd be thinking, hey, preacher may see me, or a person beside me would see me, right? But when no one is looking, that will show you who you really are as your character, right? Character, you're going to do what's right because it's the right thing to do. I think I gave illustrations before, but there was a time where I walked out the store. I went through the grocery line and paid for stuff, and the person forgot to ring something up. And even though I made it outside, wasn't intentional, I looked down and I was like, but they didn't ring this up. And I walked back in and told them and said, hey, you didn't ring this up. I need to pay for it. I wasn't stealing. They just missed it. It was a pack of Kool-Aid without the sugar. And at that time, you could probably get 10 for 10. So it was probably a dime. I'm not saying this to brag. What I'm saying is, you may say, why would you go back in the store for 10 cents? Because it doesn't matter if it's a penny or $1 million. If I know I took it, even though I didn't take it per se, it's still not right. So you
were aware.
Yeah.
You did the right thing.
Yeah. When you found out what, you go and do what's right. Amen. So anyway, what do we see here? He's telling us virtue, right? And then virtue, knowledge. And, you know, knowledge is gaining things, right? So it's interesting. It starts with faith and virtue. Virtue is a desire. You think about it, to do what's right, good character. You may not understand everything, but you just know, you know what? I know God wants me to be in church. And that's what I'm going to do, right? I know God wouldn't want me to watch those things. I'm not going to watch it. And then what he's saying is, because you have a desire to do what's right, you have good character, then add to that virtue knowledge. What does God say? And as you're going through and learning what God says, and because you have a virtue, you want to do what's right. When you learn something is wrong, you'll say, nope, can't do it because God says it's wrong. So you see, he's talking about, now he's not saying start faith and just then work on virtue. You're supposed to work on all these, right? He goes on and says, and knowledge, temperance, self-control. Our society has no self-control. None. You know, most people have no self-control. Self-control, right? Patience. Oh, people don't have patience. Amen? Godliness. We live in a time that is filled with wickedness. Here it is. God's saying, hey, if you want to grow, you never want to be barren or unfruitful, right? You don't want to be blind. You don't want to, start doubting godliness. And then he says to godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. That's love, right? But remember, he's telling us to add these things in our life, in our spiritual life. And he says, if you don't, what will happen? You're going to be barren. You're going to be unfruitful. You're going to be blind. You're going to be unstable. You're not going to grow. So the reality is, it'll be a great hindrance to you. Who here's goal in life, after you got saved, is end up to be a hindrance? No one, right? Well, God has now told you, from His Word, how you can make sure you're not a hindrance, or you don't have hindrances in your life. He says, come to church, be faithful, and start growing. Start reading. I love what I do at my job, right? I have different things that I do. There's different things I have learned, programs I use. But you know, I started out learning the basics. And I started out just little small things. And then I added on. And I added on other things. And I put more things in. And now, you know, there's things I could do. And I look back, it's like, whoa. Can't believe I did that, right? Well, in your spiritual life, God just wants you to grow. And just start taking step at a time. Just take a step. First thing that you could do is be faithful to church. And take a step to start reading your Bible. Take a step to start praying. Take a step to say, you know what? Virtue. I want to do what's right. Take a step for godliness. Start taking small steps. And if you do that and you continue to grow, then at the end of your life, you're going to look back and you'll be thankful that you did. I'm not saying that you'll be perfect, because none of us are. But you'll have less bruises on your path than us, who didn't grow like we should have. And we have scars all over. Amen? Listen to what God is telling us. If not, you're going to have some hindrances. You're going to end up having some scars. And then you're going to look back and say, what happened? Because you forgot to listen to the message. You need to grow. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, there was surely so much I could have preached and so much that's here. But I know that's what you led me to. And I pray that this message was a help and a blessing. Lord, it would be a blessing if I had more people that would come to church like those that are here, that they would glean that in their life. The importance of being faithful to church. But Lord, I'm glad these people do. Lord, I pray that you'd bless them. Lord, I pray that you would just do a special work in their life for them to understand the importance of being in church. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless up on this upcoming Sunday. We ask in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.